Recovery Radio, KMP3000.
Yes, you are listening to Recovery Radio podcast on KMP3. I am a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I will be your host. Thank you very much for tuning in. Happy you're here. Whether you are listening on the iHeartRadio app, or Spotify, or iTunes, or wherever you're at, welcome and thank you. I'm excited to be here today. I'm always excited to be here. I'm excited to be here at all. I'm excited to be alive. A lot of people say that. I don't know how serious they are about it. I mean it. Playing with house money. I wake up and I think, wow, another day. House money. When I got sober in the late 80s, I was surrounded by people who were very harsh. There are some harsh people still around, but the brand of harshness has changed a lot, at least in my community, which is big. I had never heard the phrase crosstalk until about 10 years ago. Back in the day, nobody said anything like that. People hurt your feelings, and it was fine. A good friend of mine who's sober much longer than me always said to me, you know, you can't say anything wrong in an AA meeting. She says, if you're serious, nothing will keep you out. And if you're not, any excuse will do. But I used to be really surrounded by these old men who were, and women who were, you know, there's a great saying that, you know, a true friend stabs you in the front. As opposed to someone stabbing you in the back, they stab you in the front. So I used to get stabbed in the front all the time. I was hanging out with a friend of mine last night, who's going to be on the show. It's a great guy, sober for years. It was awesome hanging out with him. We just hung out and we just talked about trying to grow spiritually. We talked about it for a couple hours. And it was rad. But, you know, one of the things we were talking about was, I had asked him, I said, what's the most, you know, painful dagger of truth that anyone has ever, you know, stabbed you with since you've been sober? And it was funny. The ego. The most painful thing for me was one time when my sponsor said to me that AA would be just fine without me. But as long as I'm here, it could use a little help. Isn't that great? At the time when he said that, that really, really bothered me. What? What do you mean it would be fine without me? Yeah, it would be just fine without you. But as long as you're around, help out a little bit. Remember the first time I was a secretary of a meeting, and my time had ended, and I was no longer secretary, and I came back to the meeting the next week, and my ego was expecting it to be, you know, in shambles. It's really funny to think about now, but I remember I was genuinely miffed that everything and everyone was fine. And what my sponsor said was right. Anyways, it was great. So today I was thinking that we should talk about meetings. There's so much to talk about. But I thought meetings would be a good topic because a lot of us attend them. And for me, they're really important. But they're not one of the steps. It's not part of the program of recovery, per se. You could include it in step 12. If you want to try to carry this message to other alcoholics, you could include it in there, but, and I do, personally, but, you know, literally speaking, going to meetings is not one of the 12 steps. Nonetheless, I go to a lot of meetings. By the grace of God, I'm sober today. And our book tells us I have a daily reprieve that's contingent on the maintenance of my spiritual condition. So, you know, I want to give back. I go to meetings now for that reason. I go to meetings now to give. I do not go to meetings to be reminded of how bad it is. I do not go to meetings because I, quote unquote, need a meeting. I do not go to meetings because I am, you know, I go to meetings now because I want to. First of all, I've gained interest in my fellows. A lot of my friends are in meetings, and I love to see them. And that's important. The fellowship is, no, oh, it's a huge part of my life. I would have no life without it, there's no doubt. But ultimately, the reason I go to meetings is because ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. So I'm going over to a meeting, and this is what I'm praying, this is what I'm meditating on, this is what I'm saying to myself out loud in the car. What can I do? What can I add? What can I contribute? See if I could help someone somehow. And usually when I leave the meeting, I don't know. I don't know if I helped anyone. But I love going to meetings. And I didn't like it in the beginning. If you've listened to any earlier shows, it was really hard. Gone through periods where I have resented my way right out of Alcoholics Anonymous. The guy who really showed me the big book said something to me that was very profound and life-changing. And he said that if you go to meetings, he said one of two things will happen. Number one, you will learn tolerance. And number two, you'll stop going. He said those are the two things that will happen. One of those two things will happen. And I thought that was pretty cool. And what I wanted to say about meetings in particular is this. So, because of the traditions, particularly because of the tradition that says the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking, Alcoholics Anonymous is the most loving, tolerant, compassionate, forgiving, beautiful community that that I've ever known. Because it lets anyone in, essentially. Nobody could throw you out, so it lets anyone in. Anyone can go. And because anyone can go, sometimes meetings are gross. You don't have to be serious. And I know that the big book says the only requirement for membership is an honest desire to stop drinking. I know that, but that's unenforceable. You can't pull everyone who comes in and say, are you serious? Are you honest? Are you being honest? Do you have a real desire to stop drinking? I mean, it's, first of all, it's not anybody's place. And second of all, that can't even really happen. You can be thrown out of an AA meeting, but you can't be thrown out of AA. So because the traditions are so loving and so tolerant and so open, sometimes AA is ugly and gross. Now, I'm saying that because this is something that I remind myself of sometimes and have reminded myself of many, many times over the years. And that is this. AA is basically as disgusting as it is beautiful. It's sometimes gross because it's so beautiful. Because you could show up there and you could be a total fucking asshole. And the response will be, keep coming back. You could show up there looking to destroy AA. And the answer will be, keep coming back. You could take an axe to the boat that is Alcoholics Anonymous, and people will offer you coffee and cookies and say, keep coming back. And that is... And so that kind of tolerance and that kind of openness that lets anything and anyone in, essentially, means that sometimes it's going to be ugly. So whenever I see something that's ugly or Alcoholics Anonymous looks ugly, or I always remind myself, well, it looks ugly, but really it's allowed to be this ugly because AA itself, in principle, is so gorgeous. Does that make sense? So for this reason, because everything is welcome in AA, essentially, an AA meeting is really nothing more than a mirror held up to your face. This is the case for me. Whatever I'm looking for, it's there. If I go to a meeting and I'm looking for an opportunity to be helpful, I will find it. If I'm going to a meeting to look for someone to buy drugs from, I'll find it. If I'm going to a meeting to look for a reason to never come back to AA because it's total bullshit, I'll find it. If I'm going to a meeting to look for the voice of a higher power, I'll find it. If I'm going there to look for a friend who will have my back till the end of time, I'll find it. It's all there. If I'm going there to look to hook up with someone, I'll find it. Everything in the rainbow is there. Because the traditions in AA are so beautiful and all-inclusive. For that very reason, sometimes it's nasty. It's kind of cool. So if I'm going there looking for God, the voice of God as I understand God, I'll find it. I remember the first time the gravity of the gift that is Alcoholics Anonymous really, really hit me was when I was traveling out of my own hometown for the first time to go to a meeting many years ago. And I was in Northern California, and I was looking in a directory, and I found a place, and I walked in, and that feeling. Holy shit. AA is not just the meeting that I go to. AA is not just this little community that I'm in. AA is not my home group. It is. But it's also so much bigger than that. It's so big that it supplies me with a living room in practically every city there is. And it's so small that it can fit in my heart. It's incredible. So I walked in, and right away I just got this feeling. You know, they had the sign. It said something. I don't know what it said. The logo was there, or it said "We Care" or "Welcome" or something. And I just thought, wow. And the experience that I was having walking in, I remember, you know, the enormous, you know, exquisite nature of what Alcoholics Anonymous really is. So beautiful. And then I noticed over the years that whenever I'd go to a meeting out of town or a meeting with which I was not familiar, it was always like a great meeting, you know, more or less. I'd go to a meeting and I'd be like, oh my God. And every single thing they said was profound and holy shit. Wow. That's brilliant. And wow, I never heard it put that way. And, you know, blah, blah, blah. But what I have come to learn about that is the reason in part that that happens to me is because when I'm going to a place I don't know anyone, I'm not listening with my ego. I'm not listening with judgment. In other words, I'm not saying, well, you know, all right, Johnny's going to share and, you know, he shares the same thing all the time and so we're going to hear that again. Or I'm not sitting there thinking, well, you know, she's going to share and, you know, I know what's really going on in her life. I mean, there's none of that. So so when I'm out of town, I could really just listen to the message without the filter of my bullshit, judgment, arrogance. So I noticed that it's not that every other meeting outside of my community is just incredible. It's that they're all incredible and that some of them I listen to in a open, loving, non-judgmental frame of mind, and some of them are harder to do that with. So a little trick that I use on myself when I'm in a meeting, and if someone starts to share and I feel myself beginning to judge, tune them out, write off what they're going to share because of my experience with them, etc., I will look at the ground in front of me and I will say to myself, pretend you're out of town. Pretend you do not know who's sharing. Pretend you know nothing about anyone in this room. And listen. Listen. Listen to what they're actually saying. And that little trick works really well. So easy to play God in an AA meeting. Page 60 to 63, it talks about what God's will does not look like. It talks about playing God. And if it went this way, and if it went that way, and if everyone would do as he wished, the show would be great, life would be wonderful, everyone would be pleased, it would be awesome. And it's so easy to do that in an AA meeting. And just say, well, I'm not playing God, you know. It's not that I'm playing God. Look, I'm at an AA meeting to help people. I'm not playing God. I mean, my motives are good. Well, 60 to 63 talks about your motives being good. It doesn't matter. So it's so easy to do that. It's so easy for me to go to a meeting and play God. Just say, well, I didn't like that share. That's not out of the big book. That's not, you know, just shut up. Who the fuck do you think you are? Listen. Moreover, what's so cool is that listening requires getting out of self. So if a meeting is good for nothing else in your mind at all, minimally, it's an incredible place to practice listening. I shared about it before, but I used to be completely incapable of listening. somebody would start sharing, and I'm not listening. I'm sitting there, and I look like I was always very good at looking as if I am listening to someone. Oh, you know, I know just when to nod my head and this and that, but please don't quiz me. I was not paying attention. And, but geez, to actually listen, that requires me getting out of myself. So it's incredible practice to get out of my own head and pay attention to what someone else is saying. So I was taught a long time ago, manners in AA. Someone sharing, don't get up in the middle of their share. It's rude. It's rude. Those guys I was talking about at the beginning of this episode, you know, would come up to me, hey, sit down. Somebody's talking. They're sharing. Don't do anything during a meeting that makes yourself the center of attention. Don't. Unless you're sharing. Give the person talking the floor. 100% of the time. Well, why? Because it's rude. Because it's selfish. Okay. And there's a bunch of stuff like that. I learned all kinds of manners in AA because I had none. This is coming from someone who, just to put this into perspective a little bit, I was just sharing this with someone before I started recording today. So where I came from was, I was telling this person about a time I lit my desk on fire at school and threw it through a window. I used to come into school and purposefully 15, 20 minutes late, slam the door. Boom. Not only would the whole classroom shake, but the whole building would shake. And then I would just start harassing the teacher, and I would be more often than not quickly removed. But so that's the person that came to AA. That's how far in the woods I was when I started to sit down in these rooms filled with people who were trying to teach me manners. Basically, there was a bunch of people in AA who had conversations with me that my parents should have had with me. Basically. Hey. And there were all kinds of things that they used to say. If you share in a meeting, stay the whole time. If you come late, don't share. Why? Just don't. It's rude. Okay? All right. Don't do anything. Don't talk while someone else is sharing. Now, am I perfect at all this? No. But I'm pretty good at this. Every once in a while, the school kid in me will come out if I'm sitting next to someone has similar humor. And that will come out, and I'll have to tame myself and get myself back on track a few times, But generally speaking, I mean, I don't get up when someone's sharing. And I don't hold my phone in a meeting. I mean, I shudder to imagine what they would have said to me if cell phones were around when I was first getting sober. I don't think my sponsor would have let me bring it in to the meeting. It's so rude. I mean, you can't argue it. Well, this is what you can't argue. You can't argue that when you're doing that, you're making it about you. It's distracting people next to you. No doubt about it. It goes against all the principles that the big book is trying to teach us. So I don't do that. And I really try to just practice listening. I try to practice listening. Is it easy? No. But it's gotten easier and easier. Sometimes I can pay attention to a whole meeting. You know, but I had to start small. Initially it was, okay, you're sober 6 months, see if you can listen to a whole share without thinking about your own crap. And that took a long time. I don't remember how long, but Whew, I talk about it now like it's pretty simple, but when you're as consumed with self as I was, it took years probably to just, and now I'm a good listener. Now I'm a really good listener. Now I'm an excellent listener, generally speaking. And a lot of that I attribute to all the practice I have done inside AA meetings. It's very cool. So normally I sit in the meeting and I think about the traditions. My sponsor made me learn the traditions. Not very popular. But my sponsor was adamant. The traditions are important. And they apply to you. We say something about them involving the group and not the individual, but hey, they apply to you. There are principles that you apply or do not apply that are either congruent with or in collision with those traditions. My sponsor drove this home. And he made me start, he suggested strongly that I start a traditions meeting where we just read the traditions out of the 12 and 12. So every week we would get together and we would just read one of the traditions. And did that for a very, very long time. A year or two, maybe longer. And not a popular meeting. I remember we would, my friend Bill and I would sit there and stare at the parking lot. Meeting starts at 8:07:55. Is anyone going to come? Oh my God, there's a car coming in. Yes. Who is it? Oh my God, it's an old timer. Oh my God, we're going to have a real meeting. We're legitimate. This is a legitimate meeting. So proud. We were so proud. I was proud. I was proud of it. But so sometimes I'll sit in a meeting and I'll think about sharing and something will stir me or move me and I'll feel, you know, my heart will start to feel something and I have something on my heart that I would like to share and then I'll run it through a series of tests quickly. You know, am I going to share out of anger? Am I going to share in a way that is mending, unifying? Am I going to share in a way that will imply that there's something other than a desire to stop drinking that is required for someone to be here? And I look at the 12 traditions and I think of it kind of as a Rubik's Cube, you know, where there's so many things to satisfy. And that's the kind of thing I'll think about. And normally I don't share because I can't. I'm unable to a lot of times. If I share, it will be out of ego or it will be, you know, out of trying to set something straight that I mean, some nonsense to me. So I mean, that's what it's like for me. But going back to what I said at the beginning, my good friend, who's been sober a long time, says, you know, she doesn't believe there's anything wrong you can say in a meeting. So there's that too. So on the one hand, I really try to share in a way that is where I'm not involved, where my ego is not involved. And then on the other hand, you can share whatever you want. And I'm saying that in quotes. So don't write to me about how there's outside issues and, you know, I know. By the way, outside issues are not drugs. How do I know? Because I had a traditions meeting for years. And we always say that outside issues are drugs, but let's read it. Go read it. When I share about drugs, I'm tampering with another tradition, but that's for another day. Maybe. Maybe I'm tampering with it. Not necessarily, but it involves another tradition, I should say. Not the outside issues one. Anyways. So, you know, why do you go to meetings? When you're new, it says in the book, you know, meetings are a place for new people to bring their problems. Bill Wilson said, I can quote this from a pamphlet. It says, what's the pamphlet called? Problems Other Than Alcohol, I think. He says that sobriety, freedom from alcohol, through the practice and teaching the 12 steps, is the sole purpose of an AA meeting. So once I am familiar with the steps and what to do with my resentment and what to do when I'm afraid and what to do if sex is becoming an issue and what to do if my relationship is troubling me, once I'm familiar with the tools that are contained in the steps, my understanding, and you can do whatever you want, but my understanding is, you know, I have things to do with that stuff. And now my job is to go try and carry a message and be of service. Be helpful. But that's me. Feels good. It feels good. It feels good to know that if I didn't like a meeting, it's simple. The reason is simple. It's because I'm playing God. It's because I had an idea of how the meeting should look and it didn't look that way. That's a good thing to know for me. Oh, that meeting sucked. Oh, okay. The meeting didn't suck. What happened was I had an idea for how the meeting should go and it didn't go that way. And now I'm angry and indignant. I wasn't going there to contribute. I was going to take. I'm still being a taker. So if I leave a meeting, and it does happen, if I leave a meeting and I'm like, you know, I had a hard time with that meeting. I understand why I had a hard time with it, because generally speaking, I was into self. Every meeting is a great meeting, I think. Does every meeting go the way I want it to go? No. That almost never happens. But I've let go of the idea that it should go a certain way more and more and more over time. I don't know how the meetings. I don't know. I'm not God. I don't know. I'm here to help. So, lots more could be said about it all. But that feels good. Get all that out. Yeah. AA is cool. There aren't a group of people that are going to be nicer to you, trust me. There are not a group of people that are going to be more tolerant of your nonsense, that's for sure. At least I've never heard of a place. And I've been fortunate enough to, to have gone to meetings in a lot of states, all over the country. AA is so incredible. I love it. I love it so much. It's incredible. Yeah. Well, thank you for tuning in today. You can contact me at sarcasticbigbook@gmail.com. I appreciate the support. I appreciate all of it. Glad you're listening. Glad it's helping. Glad it's meaning something to someone. I'll be back soon. I'm going to go now try to live a life that was worth saving. And I hope you do the same. Night.